page 20, halfway down. Acts 18:28. For he powerfully confuted the Jews publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, the subject, I've got a note there. The subject of an infinitive is in the accusative, and the subject has the article. Do you remember John 1:1? See, the Word was God. Okay, you remember that? That's the subject. But for some reason, they didn't do it here. I don't know why. So really, I say, translated the Messiah to be Jesus. So what he was proving to them, that the long-awaited Messiah was Jesus, rather than the other way around. Because the part that came first was the Messiah. And he's proving that Jesus is the Messiah come in the flesh. And this is the proof that he's going. And he's refuting who? He's powerfully confuting the Jews. And that's the only thing they were interested in. He's not talking to Gentiles there at all. Now look at your pages as you pass away from the book of Acts and you see some J's going along in there. You don't see much till you get to page 26. I've made a little summary. So let's take a quick look maybe at that. All right, let me see here. I want to see how I'm going. I want to keep you straight here. Yes, that'll work all right. Let's take a look at page 26. It's important that at this point we make a few observations. Christ, Christos, and Messiah, there it is in Hebrew, both mean anointed, one Greek and one Hebrew. Christ equals Messiah. The Hebrew New Testament uses Messiah. To the average reader of the English Bible, Christ equals Jesus, which is not correct. That's the wrong way. Christ doesn't equal Jesus. Christ equals Messiah, the anointed. 3, by transliterating Christos, Christ, the idea of Messiah as connected with Israel becomes lost. This has become especially true to those without knowledge of the Old Testament and programmed anti-Semitic. 4, the Greek article, the, acts as a pointer. Dr. A.T. Robertson, in a grammar of the Greek New Testament, and I've quoted him before, the article is never meaningless in Greek. The translators of the King James Version under the influence of the Vulgate handle the Greek article loosely and inaccurately. The vital thing is to see the matter from the Greek point of view and find the reason for the use of the article. 5. Matthew uses Christos in King James 17 times. 6 times Christos is identified by connection with Jesus. King James has the Christ 3 times. King James simply omits the article 8 times. And yet you're supposed to find out why it's there when they've gone left it out altogether. 6. Mark uses Christos 7 times, once connected with Jesus. The article is inserted 2 times and omitted 3. 7. Luke uses Christos in King James 13 times once, connected with Lord. The article inserted 3 times and omitted 8. Now notice that I've compared this. Now why? Well, because if you put it in 3 times and God puts it in 13, what business do you have of taking it out 8 out of the 13? You see, this is not translating. You're altering the Word of God. You're deciding what He's saying. Leave it in. Why can't you leave it in? If you can someplace, you can every place. 8, John uses Christos 21 times. Excuse me. 3 times connected with Jesus, once with Messiah. The article inserted 10 times and omitted 7 times. Thus, King James omits the article the 26 times in the 4 Gospels. In the book of Acts, the King James omits the article before Christos 16 times. 9. It would have been far better if Christos had always been translated Messiah and thus always associated with God's promises to Israel. 10. It's important to note how this omission of the article affects the translation of Scripture. Romans 1:16 says the good news or the gospel of the Messiah, and there are all those places. In all 11 Greek cases in King James, it's always the good news of the Messiah. And yet the King James omits the article in every case when they translate it. The good news of Christ. And they changed it into a name, which doesn't mean anything to Israel. And I personally think it's a real hindrance in the testimony to the Jew, because they're seeing Christians associated with Christ, to them another God, to most of them not connected with Messiah, and it's making an animosity. Instead of being able to talk to them about their Messiah, which to them stirs up a soft spot in their heart as to the coming of Messiah. And I think we're using a wrong word. Transliterating Christos and omitting the article makes Christ look like a proper name. 11. It's true that Jesus died, 1 Thessalonians 4:14, but more emphasis is on the fact that Messiah died, and you'll find that. 12. In the case of Kurios Jehovah, without the article, the King James reverses itself. The King James puts in the article many times when no article's in the text. Jehovah is a proper name, and now becomes the Lord a title. They seesaw it back and forth. Now let's go back to the middle of page F. Well, wait just before you do. Look at the rest of the pages. Just pass them by. Look for M's. Look for M's that list this kind of messiahship. Well, you don't find any more. Okay, let's go back to F, because that emphasis. But we've established enough now, so from here on, I use Messiah all the time for Christ. So come back to page F, the middle of the page. All right. Now we come to the H item on page F. I suggest you restudy the word gospel in Church Book 2, beginning on page A6. The word gospel in earlier Greek signified a present given to anyone for bringing good tidings, or a sacrifice offered in thanksgiving for such tidings having come, the gods in the latter case being regarded as the senders of them. And I've given you the source. We have in connection with Christos the phrase, the good news, gospel of the Messiah, which we've just now begun to touch on. The good news of the Messiah has in the idea his sacrifice of himself to take away sin. This expression occurs as follows. Now, they're not marked with M, so let's take a look at some of them. The first one's on page 25. Mine marked with blue. Yours would be too if you marked them. Okay. It comes down there, Romans 15, verse 19. The end of the verse. It's underlined, however. I have fully preached the good news of the Messiah. That's what Paul's doing was. I have fully preached the good news of the Messiah. Come to page 30, where we'll pick up another one. And this one is 1 Corinthians 9:12, the end of the verse there. And, well, we better read the verse. If others partake of this right over you, do not we yet more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we bear all things that we may cause no hindrance to the good news of the Messiah. That was a real effort. Cause no hindrance to the good news of the Messiah. All right, pick up page 33. 2 Corinthians 2:12, right at the top of the page. Now when I came to Troas for the good news of the Messiah, and when a door was opened unto me in Jehovah. In Jehovah. Notice we've touched that one before. All right, pick it up again now in 34. And it's halfway down the page, 2 Corinthians 9:13. Seeing that through the proving of you by this ministration, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession with reference to the good news of the Messiah. See the margin? Not unto the gospel of Messiah. That clouds it. It can be much easier. With reference to the good news of the Messiah. That was what's exciting. That's what they were all preaching. It was exciting. The good news of Messiah has come and died for you. All right, we pick it up again on page 35. Down at the bottom, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so quickly removed from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto a different, of course, that grace of Messiah. in a different gospel, which is not another gospel, only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the good news of the Messiah. See, I'm hitting that particular expression right now. And now we go all the way over to 41 in Philippians, where it occurs again. And right at the top of the page, Philippians 1:26, that your glorying may abound in Messiah Jesus. We'll touch that. By the way, see that one? See the encircled? We're coming to those. 27, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Be worthy of the good news of the Messiah. He uses that expression quite often. Pick it up again on page 44, and that's the last of them. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. And sent Timothy, our brother and God's minister, in the good news of the Messiah to establish you and comfort you concerning your trust. All right, now coming back again to page F, we've touched all of them. In all eight, this is close to the bottom now, in all eight times, all was the Messiah. Yet the King James dropped the article in all eight. The vital thing, here it comes again from Robertson, the vital thing is to see that the matter from Greek point of view and find the reason for the use of the article. And you can see now, can't you, what its use is? Its use is to keep it as a title and to keep it away from being assumed to be a name of somebody. And it's inserted all the time to keep it as the title of his office. And so you have Jehovah, his creative work, Jesus in the flesh, and Messiah, his redemptive work. Jehovah, Jesus, Messiah. You get it all the time. We've touched it already. Okay, come to page G. Now I want to make a little digression. You're going to need your Bibles. In fact, you might head this page digression so you can go back and take a look at it. Now this is the Messiah that followed Israel in the wilderness. Now I'll show you why they were looking for the Messiah. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. For I would not, brethren, have you ignorant that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. We're all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of a spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was, left out again, the Messiah. The Messiah. Now look at Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore remember that once ye the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that ye were at that time without Messiah. In time past, Gentiles were without Messiah, separate from Messiah, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Messiah Jesus, ye that once were far off are made nigh in the blood of the Messiah. See, I got it in the margin. But now, in Messiah Jesus, the Gentiles became near in the blood of the Messiah. Now, you can see that this does not mean anything if you put it in Christ. It does if you keep it Messiah, because the rock that followed them was their long-promised Messiah. And the Gentiles had no connection with it at all, because the Gentiles were outsiders, heathen, were aliens altogether. But when the blood of the Messiah was shed, it gave us entrance into the commonwealth of Israel, and we could be grafted into the root. Now, Galatians 3:23. But before faith or trust came, we were kept in ward under the law, shut up unto the truth which should afterwards be revealed. Notice, now here's a verse, you know, every time you read one of these verses, it seems to open more and more. Now notice what he's saying. But before the trust came, that hadn't come yet. That trust he's talking about, he notice he's got an article in there, not before faith came, because by faith Noah built an ark and so forth. By faith. Not before faith came, before the trust came. What trust? The particular trust in the Messiah. The trust. There's no article put in there again. They left it out. under law, we, that is Israeli, were being protected. See, that's the word protected. Being shut together with reference to the future trust to be revealed. Now, boy, that's spelling it out a whole lot better. The future trust to be revealed. They were being protected, shut up together. And Phil and I were talking a little bit ago. Why didn't they see all this? Because they were shut up together under the law, waiting for the future trust to be revealed. And God didn't want it that way. He said, have I not the right to make you as I want you? The potter to make the clay the way he wants it? And you saw the passage where they said, we are the clay. And God's doing it. All right, verse 24. So that the law is become our tutor, now not unto Christ, with reference to Messiah. That is, that's what this whole law was doing. It was leading them along the way toward the Messiah. That we might be justified by faith, by trust. But now that trust is come, we are no longer under a tutor. I think I'm going to make a whole series. I may do it very soon on the word faith. I think there's so much bandying around of that word that a whole course needs to be done on that word right now. And it's been bothering me, and I think I'll try to do that, the Lord permitting. 1 Corinthians 10:18. Behold, Israel after the flesh, have not they that eat the sacrifices communion with the altar? Now notice the translation that literal I put out there. You are looking at the Israeli. Behold, Israel. That isn't the way it is. You are looking at the Israeli according to flesh. Are not the ones eating the sacrifices partakers of the altar? See, they ate the sacrifice, therefore they partook of the altar. Now look at Revelation 6:9. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, that's where they're ending up, they're partakers of the altar. And when they die in the Messiah, they end up under the altar. That's where they are. They're not in Jesus yet, and they're all under the altar. They're partakers of the altar. The souls of them that had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a great voice, saying, how long, O Master, the holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now, a lot of people are making this the martyred saints of the tribulation. There's nothing to connect it to that at all. Let's connect it correctly. Notice what I've got in the margin. The souls of the ones having been and still being slaughtered. Spato. And it's a perfect tense. And you can take a look at Romans 8:36 sometime. Through an account of the word of the God and an account of the witness which they were having. So this group that's under there are the ones having been and more still being slaughtered all the time added to those under the altar. Now look at John 10:35 in your Bibles, because I want you to see that. Look at John 10:35. Actually, I'm going to begin with verse 31. And then you can also get Romans 3:2, because I think it's important that we look at those verses. John 10:31. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from the Father. For which of these or those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They understood his deity. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods, in other words, the Israeli are gods, that is something startling. The Israeli nation are a nation of gods, whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Say ye of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? Now, where did he say that? Okay, turn back now to Psalm chapter 82. It's worth your looking at, because this is a very strange verse to start with. I'm not sure I can give you all kinds of answers. But look at Psalm 82, and start with verse 1. Now, a King James is more accurate here. If you've got the King James, you'll be a little better off. So mark that down. And this is King James. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. Watch. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? See, the Jews weren't judging justly as gods. They weren't doing their job. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Boy, look at that. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Look at it looking way ahead, when they're going to be a future nation in glory. All right, now also, it tells us that, of course, that the word of God, which they were dying for, was given to them. And you better go back to John 10:35 one second, for if he called them gods, and that's where I digressed, unto whom the word of God came. God gave the word of God to Israel. Now you get the same thing in Romans 3:2. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. So these that he's talking about in Revelation 6, the souls under the altar, where they've ended up, having been partakers of the altar, and these souls are a witness, and they've been slain for the word of God. You see from John 10 and Romans 3 that they're Jews, and for the testimony which they held. All right, let's look at the testimony which they held. Look at Isaiah 43 and begin with verse 8. Isaiah 43, 8. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Don't you remember he shut their eyes, shut their ears? Let all the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled. Now, he said they were blind, and they had eyes, and they had ears, and they were deaf. What's he say? Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Resurrect them. Resurrect them. Bring them back on the scene. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the peoples be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Who? Who can show them the former things? They've got to be here to see the Messiah. How are they going to know former things? Let them bring their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is true. Ye are my witnesses, saith Jehovah, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Jehovah, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have showed, and there was no strange God they've inserted among you. Therefore ye are my witness, saith Jehovah, and I am God. Yea, since the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who can hinder it? He's going to do it. He's going to do it. I think that's a tremendous passage. And that's in the latter part, you see, of Isaiah, which has to do with the millennial reign. And this is coming to pass. Now go back to your page. Talk about witness, the word of God, and also that they're a witness. And you had the fact that you're my witnesses in Isaiah, but I want you to look at number 17 before you lose this, because we have the most visual witness in all the wide world. Number 17 and verse 7. Numbers 17:7. If you don't get it in time, make a note of it. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. This is the witness that they bore all through history. Verse 8. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. And Aaron was the high priest of the tabernacle. He is the priest, the Christ, in shadow form. And his rod budded, and he was in the tabernacle of witness and witness to the truth of the coming Messiah. All being acted out. The most elaborate witness ever put together. So the Jews are the witness. So these souls under the altar are these Jews. And notice another thing. They cry out for vengeance, these souls. Now, that's not true of the Christians in Jesus that are assembled in the heavenly tabernacle. They've accepted the witness, they've believed in the Messiah, and they're not asking for any further vengeance. And even the martyrs that died, you find them never cursing the people that put them to death. You find them going to be with their Lord graciously and even asking forgiveness, such persons as Stephen. But when you get to this group under the altar, they want vengeance because they're not yet in Jesus, but they are in the Messiah. And you come over, Psalm 44. Psalm 44, 20. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. That's the slaughtered, having been slaughtered and still being slaughtered. We're killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? See, they want vengeance. For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. All right? Now coming on down to the bottom of your page G again, look at Hebrews 13. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, I don't think it has any meaning with yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I don't think it has that idea at all. Jesus Messiah, the same yesterday, that is before Calvary, and today in the present time, and with reference to the ages, that is the future. He's the same on the other side of the cross. He's the same right now in the age we live, and he'll be the same in the ages to come. And verse 12, wherefore Jesus also that he might, I'm sorry, verse 10, I don't want to miss that one. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat that serve the tabernacle. Wherefore Jesus also that he might sanctify the people through his own blood suffered without the gate. Let us therefore go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Note verse 10, an altar. Verse 12, that he may make holy through his own blood the people, that is Israel. Verse 13, bearing his reproach, and so Moses too bore the reproach of the Messiah. That's what it says. And we'll begin there then our next session. Thank you.